the grand finale. We coming through with the Madden family, and only the baddest athletes gonna survive. When you see four or five of my guys piling up on top of you in front of your eyes, feel the impact, dual shock starts to kick back. Hey yo, it's Madden 2001, you need to get that and feel like you in the game playing for real. It's like royalty, so nil.
It's like hot one, hot two, high.
Who the champions?
East swinging big sights.
Football fans, welcome to another edition of This Week in the NFL here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. I am your host, the Cowboy. Your three-man booth is back. Thank you to Mr. D'Amato for holding down the fort while we were away. He has done two individual pods this year, which got to give him a lot of credit. That's not an easy thing to do. But I am joined by Mr. D'Amato and Cowboy Senior. So, John, how are you doing, man?
Very well. My Giants are on bye week, but I'm not. And yes, I tend to do better solo and everything in life, unfortunately.
No bye weeks for you, John. Period. You're our constant. So, are you happy to have us back? So you have somebody to talk to, or are you more like our me and seniors' takes are so bad that you'd rather just talk to yourself?
Nah, I love you guys, man. And it was great to be with you guys on Saturday. The great UFC night, our best one,
Absolutely. And Cowboy Senior, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm actually still flying high from that Saturday night. That was just an unbelievable UFC card. But this is a football show, and we all did wake up in time after getting home at 5:30 in the morning to enjoy. And you know, at about 2:30, 3 o'clock, I was saying, is this really happening, or am I still delirious and asleep from last night? Because it was like being in the Twilight Zone watching football Sunday, especially in the 1 o'clock window. Some crazy things going on.
Absolutely, and we'll talk about all that. But yeah, we had a great time at MSG at the Mecca watching UFC 268. It was a fantastic card. As Senior said, it's a football show, but we are big sports fans here, so fantastic
Senior's first time at the Garden.
Senior's first time at MSG.
World's most famous arena. But I was there for.
And it did not disappoint. It did not disappoint.
We got many more. First Saturday of November, I think they're pretty much run to UFC 30. So 280, 300. We got many more. We got many more for you, Senior.
Senior, you never went to a lot of these big sporting events, but now as a UFC fan, you're kind of locked into two or three, you know, equivalent of the Super Bowl a year, right?
Well, you know, you say big, but I mean, as far as major league sporting events, you know, I've been to so many things in my life, you know, so many Red Sox games, Patriot games. I was a season ticket holder for quite a few years. Celtic games, many, many Friar games, at least seven or eight times going to NCAA tournament weekends. And you know, it's an old story, but when the pandemic hit, I became a fan of the USC. And I'm going to say that nothing I've ever been to matches, as a live event, the experience that you get going to one of these big UFC cards. And this one was an absolutely special one, the way that it worked out. But they do an incredible job putting on a show for you. You're entertained for about 8 hours and high-level entertainment. It was incredible, really. We saw two great world title fights, and we probably saw one of the greatest scraps in the history of the UFC with Chandler and Gaethje. So just an unbelievable night. And the time I went to Vegas when Poirier beat that scumbag McGregor, that was quite a night as well. It's the UFC does an unbelievable job.
Senior's a guy who needs a villain, for those who for those who don't know him. So no matter what the sport is, he's not feeling at home unless he's really rooting hard against somebody. So that villain is Conor McGregor. So let's get to the football, guys. As Senior said, bizarro world this week. Everybody's talking about it. Just a lot of funky results. None bigger. So probably the biggest upset of the year. You had Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars outlast the Bills 9-6. And really, I mean, the Jags defense played a great game. Josh Allen, the defensive Josh Allen, seemed to really like take offense to being called the other Josh Allen. And he went out and played like the best defensive game anyone's played this season. So early in the game, it was, I was watching Red Zone. They said, no, there's never been a sack of a quarterback by a guy with the same name, which stands to reason, right? And he got it. Okay, there's the sack. And then he got a pick. And then he got a fumble recovery. So he had a great game. Really, but Jags defense played a phenomenal game, holding down that high-powered Buffalo offense. And, I mean, really felt like a blip on the radar for the Bills. But who knows? What are your takeaways, John? You think it's like any cause for concern in Buffalo? Like, they really didn't take care of the ball is the reason they lost. Do you think that's kind of a blip or something that is going to rear its head?
I think it was just one of those bad games. We saw a few other teams had that too. And but it was a phenomenal performance. I was a little mad. Hanson, he's my guy, but he was kind of annoyed. After a while, I was like, all right, we get it. Josh Allen. But the guy made a fumble, a sack, and an interception. That's like a once in a lifetime. I don't even know. Has that ever been done? It's probably only been done like 2-3 times by a defender. So it was a phenomenal game by the defensive Josh Allen. So I think it was just a blip, and Buffalo will get it together. But things are tight, and they still have two games versus the second place team in that division, and maybe then they're not going to run away with it like it looked like a couple weeks ago.
And they're not going to run away with it, because if you look at the standings in that division, you have the Bills sitting on top, right, at 5-3. And then right behind them, you have your resurgent New England Patriots, 5-4, could very easily be 7-2, given some of the close losses. They played a very difficult schedule, but they went into Carolina. And to be fair, Carolina is couldn't be more of a mess on offense with you know, Darnold is not playing well. Andy was playing hurt. We find out he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. But it was a real nice win for the Patriots. They went in there and thumped them. And this week we have Browns Patriots in a real battle of two, you know, playoff caliber teams in the AFC. The Browns coming off a vicious thrashing of the Super Bowl favorite Cincinnati Bengals. So I'll eat a little crow. I haven't been on the show for a couple weeks. I said they were my favorite for the Super Bowl. They proceeded to lose to the Jets the next day, and now they lost by 25 points at home to Cleveland. So impressive performance by Cleveland. Maybe the Natty's not quite ready for prime time. We shall see. Senior, What do you think about Pats Browns in New England? Most likely no Nick Chubb.
Yeah, it's a real nice looking matchup. And you really look like it's gonna come down to it. I see both teams going out trying to do the same thing offensively. Both teams really wanna run the ball.
Yeah, well, the Patriots may not have Harris or Stevenson either.
We'll see about that. No matter who they have, they're going to want to run the ball. There's no doubt about it. That's what they want to do. And Cleveland loves to run the ball, and the Pats D has been playing very well, but the Pats D is better against the pass than they are against the run. You know, I think it's going to be an old-fashioned football game. Two teams trying to establish the run and then throw in some play action. And I see it as a close game, a tough matchup to call. Yeah, I want to pick the Pats because they're the home team, but they've been incredible on the road. Almost wish it was in Cleveland. It's going to be a real interesting game, but I think that's really what it's going to come down to. Whichever team runs the ball better wins the game. And I'm not sure who it's going to be, but I'll tell you that I'll favor my guys a little bit. I really like the way they've been playing on both sides of the ball. You know, Johnny, Johnny D often accuses us of dropping the names of offensive skill players because we're fantasy guys and not noticing stuff. But, you know, I can give more on the Patriots than I can on any other team because I obviously watch them more closely. I don't miss a play. And I keep saying the same name every week. Matt Judon is an unbelievable player. That defense is playing real good, but he's the leader. He's the spark. He's all over the field. He's in the backfield every game. I mean, 2 games ago, they had Phillips with the 2 picks. One of them a pick six. Last week, it was J.C. Jackson, 2 picks. One of them's a pick six. But a lot of that has to do with they're generating a pass rush. And Judon is a huge part of that. And I'm going to give you another defensive name to really watch. A second-round pick, Christian Barmore. More and more every week. You know, you got the guys, the edge rushers, Judon and Collins and whoever. And when the quarterback's like Donald last week's trying to step up, he's there with that interior pressure. This people have often said Bill's not a great drafter. And I guess the track record would kind of speak to that. But, you know, you're going to win some, lose some in the draft. But this year, the 15th and 38th pick, first round, second round, going for the 2 guys from Alabama, Bill hit the jackpot with Mack and Barmore. If you only got those 2 guys in the draft, it was a great draft. So I know I didn't analyze the game too much, but I think that's really what this game comes down to. Whoever runs the ball more effectively is going to win. And I'll go out on a limb and say I think it's going to be the Pats in a close one.
All right. John, what do you think?
Very impressive, Senior. I, obviously, Barmore allowed them to. That's pretty much why they didn't really shed a tear when Stephon Gilmore was saying goodbye to him, because they had his replacements all set there. And definitely, the Pats got through that rough stretch of games. They lost to those good teams, played real close, but to win these two tough road games back to back. You know, Carolina not necessarily that tough, but still, it's a good road win, and to do it convincingly like that, especially you figure they might have been a little let down coming off that a real solid road win, going coast to coast versus the Chargers. So the Pats got their stuff together, and I look for them to continue. Cleveland, even though Chubb and Hunt may be out, the last time that was the case, they still played a solid game, led by their run game, D'Ernest Johnson. So with their offensive line and Stefanski running that offense, they've been pretty good all year. But I look for the Pats. They've been a little more consistent, and finally that home advantage is going to come through. They haven't really been playing too well at home this year, and as it gets colder, the old Pats magic is going to come through in Gillette.
Lock it up. Three for three, guys. I'm going Pats, too.
Uh-oh.
I know.
We're all on the Patriots.
Well, and I mean, 2 words, Baker Mayfield going into winning that game. I know he played pretty good, and there's the whole he doesn't have Odell thing, but I don't think he's going in there and winning that game. No way.
You've been down on it, but one thing you got to admire, he's tough, though. He's playing through some injuries.
He is a tough kid. I mean, yeah. I like his attitude. I just don't think he's a real good player.
Right.
All right. So that's really, I mean, it's kind of an odd week this week. Not a lot of marquee matchups. So let's talk again about some of the more wild stuff that happened.
Let's go to Monday night.
Cowboys Broncos.
How about them Cowboys?
In Dallas, a game that everybody in the world figured the Cowboys would win. And while the Buffalo game was kind of fluky, it didn't look fluky. Denver just really kicked the shit out of them. It was never close. They blew the doors off them. Dallas couldn't do anything at all on offense. The final score is deceiving. It was 30-0. And not like because of a lot of turnovers or anything. Just Denver just outplayed them. Dak was off. I don't think Denver's that good. I don't think Dallas is as is as bad as they looked in this game. But John, does this pump the brakes a little bit for you on the Cowboys Super Bowl talk, or do you think again more like Buffalo, just a little blip on the radar?
Yeah, nah, you hit it just like Buffalo. It was just a game. Everything went wrong. The turning point in the game was at 0-0. The Dallas made a great play. They blocked the punt. And then the ball kind of went forward instead of, towards the end zone. And the knucklehead touched it. And Denver pounced on it and got the first down. And that was pretty much it from there. If you had told me the game was on, because the Giants was on CBS, so the game was on Fox with the Giants. If you had told me that they would have switched at 3 o'clock because it was non-competitive, I would have figured it would be because the Cowboys were blowing them out, not the other way around.
Right, so exactly.
They switched to Ravens Vikings because we have to switch to a more competitive game. And if you had told me that it would be because Denver was ahead, I wouldn't believe that. You could have gave him a million to one odds. So that was crazy. But I think it's just one of those things where they took them for granted. They were rolling. Everything was going right, and they loosened up a little, and they took it for granted. But let's talk about the great coach McCarthy leaving an injured Dak in at 30-0, just so he could get some. The Dak must be on his fantasy teams because he had to get his fantasy points.
Man, I don't know. Well, you don't think, John, that because all the other starters were out, that you don't think that it was. He had just played so awful, and he didn't play in the previous game, and he just wanted to get him some reps. I don't know if I agree with it or not, but I can at least kind of see the point.
Yeah, but you got to kind of disagree with it. It's not like he's a rookie quarterback or something, you know. I thought it was crazy that he had him in there at the end, but, the Cowboy Super Bowl train and all this. Okay, I agree that this game was a blip on the screen, but you look at the road they're going to have in the NFC. It's not like they're in the AFC. There's some power teams in the NFC, that few teams that you could say are on the Super Bowl train. And McCarthy's, I think he's a terrible coach. McCarthy's coaching could end up costing them in the playoffs. I mean, that would not shock me in the least.
No.
Imagine if he would have got hurt. I mean, imagine if he would have. What an idiot.
I mean, and selfishly, I was all right with him being in there. I'll just say that. But no, I mean, but what if you get Dallas and the Cardinals in the playoffs? What a meeting of the minds that is. At least Kingsbury's kind of young, right? Like McCarthy's been bad for a long time. It's not like he's going to get better, right? So I give Cliff the edge there. So Dallas this week, very interesting game with the Falcons. The Falcons went into New Orleans and got a W, not easy to do. They played good. Matty Ice, who looked like he had a big fork sticking out of his back a few weeks ago, has actually put a few good games together here. Atlanta going into Dallas. I believe if the season ended today,
yes.
Atlanta's a playoff team, right?
That's unbelievable.
Seven. Yep.
That's unbelievable.
So you have a battle of two current playoff teams. If Dallas were to lose this game, I mean, now the alarms are going to start sounding, even though they could go 7-10 and win that division, right? But what do you think, Dad? Do you think Atlanta can go in there and make it interesting?
I mean, they've looked good. They've played better. It's weird. They lost Ridley, and their offense has looked better. I think it's Cordarrelle Patterson has suddenly emerged as a guy who was basically a kick returner most of his career, is like a prime time performer now. They use him.
He's been great. He had a great game
all over the place. And with Ridley out, you're also seeing Pitts being more of a primary target, and he's a guy that they call a tight end, but he's not really a tight end, right? He's a receiver, and he's really talented. So they do certainly have some talent on offense, and with Batty chucking the rock as well as he has been recently, you never know. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a fairly close game. I would say the Cowboys win, But I don't think they walk away with it. I don't think they kick their butts. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Falcons upset them even.
The Falcons 3-1 on the road this year. Only lost at Tampa. On the downside, they did lose to Sam Darnold in the week two weeks ago.
That's a bad mark on
So they've won 3 out of 4. They beat the Jets at Miami. And lost to Darnold. And
Jets,
then,
Miami, Giants, and they have one quality win after last week.
Yeah, there you go.
But so, Senior, are you picking the Falcons in that game?
No, I said I picked Dallas, but a close game. To where
close Dallas.
It could swing the other way. It wouldn't shock me.
John, what do you think?
This is a get-right game for Dallas, but you guys stole some of my thunder, especially with Patterson using him as a weapon. He's been terrific out of nowhere. And under the radar, Smith, great job as a coach. Not much was expected for them, but to have them at 4-4 and in a playoff position. But as you see, that NFC is real weak. That third wild card team is probably going to be 8-9. It might even be 7-10. Might slip in there. So. Good job by him, but I think it ends here. As we ran down, one quality win for the Falcons and three not so muches. So they are what they are, man. And the Cowboys will get it right.
I agree, John. I think the Cowboys get it right. I was a little concerned with how the Cowboys played defense on Sunday, because that improved defense has been the big story. And I mean, Denver just ran all over him. I mean, they couldn't stop the run at all, either guy. And Denver's offense, I mean, not a high-powered attack, to say the least. So,
yeah, the guy Diggs has been getting a lot of shine as a possible player of the year defense. But,
he got fucking cooked one play.
He's
Tim Patrick cooked him.
He's a gambler. He's a gambler, but sometimes he rolls a 7, and sometimes it's a snake eyes. I think Roger knows about that. Junior knows about that.
Yeah. not a lot of sevens in my life, John. We'll
as the Wizards pull it out by one.
It was 3. And, yes, the Cavs were up 3 with 10 seconds left and lost. Somehow.
Kyle Kuzma.
Talking about it. But, all right, so I'm going to go with the Cowboys as well. Like Senior, I would kind of like to see the Falcons win the game, just to really, like, because the Cowboys are a premier team, and there's going to be overreaction both ways, and you could, like, the sky would really be falling, and it would be fun for a week. But I think the Cowboys will win the game. I think that the Falcons are not going to really be able to stop them, which will be the difference in the game. All right, so that was another very, very surprising result. Those were the two big ones, but we had all sorts of craziness, right? Your New York Giants, John.
They lost D-man.
Las Vegas, obviously, kind of a cursed season for them. I mean, it's tough to even talk about the Henry Ruggs thing. From a football perspective, just a horrible situation. But, and then they had to release their Damon Arnett, their other first round pick that year, for, threatening to kill somebody on Instagram with a few automatic weapons in his Instagram story. So another rocket scientist. But so the Vegas came in, they have, clearly some off the field stuff going on, but it's a great win for the Giants. John, I mean, they played good, right? You had to be happy defensively. And frankly, John, and I know you can be a little bit glass half empty or modest with your team, but I mean, they've been in a lot of games. They could very easily be the Falcons right now, right? 5-4. I think they're better than their record. I'll just say that they're a tough out.
The defense, the last couple games, they has been playoff quality. The offense is still inconsistent, and this is one of those games. I wouldn't count out the Raiders too, because the Raiders really have a solid defense. Just like in the Bears game, the Giants had less than 100 yards passing, and managed to win the game. Just like that, the Bears beat the Raiders too with barely 100 yards passing. So the Raiders, uncharacteristic. Carr reverted to a couple of his last couple of seasons with some turnovers that turned the game towards the Giants' favor.
Xavier McKinney.
Yeah.
And so Giants on bye this week, but going to the bye with a nice win. Raiders this week. Oh, gives us a chance to talk about. Before we talk about Chiefs Raiders, let's talk about Chiefs in general, right? So we had the highlight game of the week until it wasn't. Chiefs Packers, where Jordan Love showed the world just how valuable Aaron Rodgers is with just it was a tough spot for the kid. It's a tough spot for the kid coming in on a short week in Kansas City. It's a difficult place to play. With all that said, he didn't look like an NFL quarterback for most of the game. He got a little better as the game went on, played a little better in the fourth quarter, but the Chiefs defense, as we know, is not exactly the 85 Bears. And to only put up 7 with that 7 coming on fourth down, like at the end of the game, just a sad, sad state of affairs. Because you have to think the way that this game went, that if Rodgers plays, Green Bay wins that game by double digits. Right?
Yeah. You know, Jordan Love looks so bad. I don't want to judge a kid who got drafted in the first round a year ago on one game, but I kind of am judging him on it because he didn't just look bad. He looked like he was like scared out there. He really did. His feet were moving all over the place and he looked panicked the whole game long. I don't think he has what it takes to play in the NFL.
We'll see, Senior. I mean, it is just one game. He did get a little less panicked as the game went on, but not much. But
he looked awful.
Spagnuolo, was just calling these zero blitzes left and right, like you would in against somebody who it's like what they used to do to Tebow, but Love can't really is a not the runner Tebow was. So it was just a really, really, really tough game for the Packers offense. But I think the bigger takeaway from the game,
the Chiefs offense,
the Chiefs in general, right? So this happens every year where, and a lot of times it is the Super Bowl loser, right? Where it takes us a while to figure out that a team just isn't that good, right? And the beginning of the year was, I guess you blame it on the defense. They lost some shootouts. But, Mahomes has regressed. Has regressed. It just has not looked good since the Philly game in week 4. And it seems like there's the book's out on how to stop that offense. And they haven't adjusted. Right. And I think it's just a case of they're just not that good. I think you look at their remaining schedule, I think there's a very realistic chance and a very, very realistic chance that they don't make the playoffs. So they're at Vegas, home for Dallas, bye, home for Denver, home for Vegas, at the Chargers, home for Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati, at Denver. That's 4 losses, right? 4 or 5 losses right there. So I think we just have to say that this is just not a good team. Thoughts, John?
Well, so far they've only played one game inside their division. So, the past few years they've dominated the division games. So we'll see how that goes. That's going to determine their season, how they handle their division. If they have their number like they've had in the past few years, we talked about the Raiders struggling, the Chargers seem to be coming down to earth a little bit, and Denver's, they've pretty much packed it in, despite last week's great performance by trading away Von Miller. So most of their games versus division opponents might give them one last run, especially those two games. They got two games versus the Raiders. Within two out of the next four will be with the Raiders. So
that division, I kind of feel like all the teams are kind of the same. Like, I have no idea who to pick in this game.
Yeah, it's who gets hot. It's who plays their best football in December. That's what's going to determine it.
Because those teams, I mean, you tell me any one of those teams is going to win the division, and I would say, yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance of that, right? The Chargers played better this week and got a win, but they certainly haven't looked like world beaters. And the Chiefs are supposed to run away with it. I mean, frankly, I mean, I think the Chiefs are probably playing the worst of any team in that division. Like, it's a tough game to pick, but I think the Raiders are going to beat them this week on Sunday Night Football. I just don't think the Chiefs can score enough. I mean, their defense stinks. Carr's going to put up points, and their offense can't put up points. So, 27-20 Raiders. What do you think, Senior? Am I being too hard on him?
Well, it's a real hard thing to figure out, and the conclusion you draw that they're just not that good a team. It's really the same as far as the main characters. It's not just the Super Bowl loser. It's the previous year they were the Super Bowl champion. It's the same main cast. How could this have happened? Can it be an aberration, you know? Can it just be a bad stretch and they're going to make adjustments and come back? I don't know. You know, can Pat Mahomes, who's just amazed us, people already had him in the Hall of Fame, for God's sake. We've never seen a guy do the things that he can do with his arms and with his legs and his creativity. And to go from that to a team that's literally having trouble scoring points, you know, that couldn't top the Packers 13 points last week. It's just...
They did. They won 13-7.
To score 13, okay, my bad. To score 13 and win. I mean, we know their defense isn't that good, but for their offense to have sunk to this is really inexplicable, because that's what they've been, right? They've been an offensive monster. And to say, well, you just play the two deep safeties and you make them be patient and they're never going to figure it out and be good again is really a hard thing to say. And maybe this two deep safety against high powered teams is going to be a trend, because I didn't get to say anything about the Buffalo game, but I know there's way more to it than that. But Jacksonville played that Chiefs against the Chiefs defense the whole game against the Bills. They played the two deep safeties the whole game and tried to make the Bills be patient, but the Bills just played terrible.
Yeah. I think like specifically against Mahomes and Allen, it makes sense to do that, because they're big plays, but they're also both gunslingers who I think maybe have trouble being patient and don't mind forcing the ball in and really trust their arm strength. Where if you make them go the whole way downfield, you have the opportunity to force a mistake. You can't do that kind of look against like an Aaron Rodgers,
because right. the difference. To me, though, between the two is that Allen may be able to learn to be a little more patient, because his defense is pretty good and they got to stop the other team sometimes. In this last week's game, that wasn't the case for the Chiefs, but all the others, I feel like Mahomes loses his patience because the other team gets the ball and scores a touchdown. The other team gets the ball and scores a touchdown, and he starts to feel like he's got to put 20 points up in a quarter, you know, to come back.
I mean, to put it in perspective, Jordan Love threw for more yards per attempt, and had a better completion percentage than Mahomes in that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And Jordan Love looked awful.
I mean, he couldn't have just totally forgotten how to play, and he's such a talented kid that you got to feel like they're eventually going to figure it out. I'm not going to go to the point to say that offense isn't that good. I think they're going to figure out it at least be a good offense again. When it'll happen, I don't know.
Well, I think what they need, they need a third weapon, right? So that teams can't just completely concentrate on those two guys. And they've tried guys and it's just not working. Hardman you know, just can't catch the ball. He was horrible in that game. Josh Gordon's not getting on the field. I mean, I thought it might be a decent spot for Odell, but I don't think they can pay him, right? They're one of the teams that would.
Maybe they'd be better off with like a, you know, somebody better at the running back, a kind of a really good running back that can catch passes out of the backfield kind of guy, you know.
Maybe that spark will come off the waiver wire.
Who do you got?
Aren't they one of the three teams in the OBJ?
So they can afford Odell. That's what I was saying. I thought they were one of the teams that couldn't.
Nah, I think.
But because he cleared waivers, he can go wherever he wants. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Supposedly it's the Saints, the Packers, and the Chiefs.
I mean, if I were Odell, I would choose the Packers or the Chiefs, right? Instead of catching passes from Trevor Siemian. Like, that's kind of like the same as Mayfield. But I just don't think I think I've watched every snap that they've played this season. And if you took the names off the jerseys, they're a different team this year. For whatever reason, they're a different team this year. And they've showed us that. And it's been multiple weeks. And I don't think they can snap their fingers and turn it around. And we'll see. Usually when I make a call like this, it'll generally go the other way. So maybe I just got them the Lombardi trophy.
And we talk about the Raiders defense, and it is a pretty good defense, but they're very aggressive. And that might be what the Chiefs need. This might be the kind of defense that the Chiefs can do some damage against. The Raider defense isn't a defense that just sits back. And if they try to play that way, it might go against their DNA, you know? So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the get well week. I'm not saying they're going to put up a 50 burger or anything, but where they score 28, 35 points or so and get a W.
So you like the Chiefs here, senior?
Yeah, I like them to kind of get well to a certain degree this week. Yep.
All right, John, you're the deciding vote.
Tiebreaker, Johnny D.
I'm going to go with the Raiders.
I knew you would.
Yes.
Because you like the team with the better defense.
Yes.
That makes it easy.
And the better offense.
If that's the case, then it should be one-sided, right?
The Raiders' offense, it's been better. They've had a better offense. All right. We shall see.
They said that G-Men defense this week. That's for
sure. I was watching the Chiefs-Packers. I mean, the Packers' defense isn't that good. I mean, they're okay. It was really, really, really like an eye-opener for me. And, I mean, the Giants should have beat the Chiefs. The Giants should have won that game. Anyhow. So we had some other bizarro stuff, right? One thing that wasn't. So you had the Cardinals who are without Kyler, without DeAndre Hopkins, Chase Edmonds getting hurt on the first play of the game, destroyed the 49ers in San Francisco. I think any thoughts of the Cardinals not being for real are gone, right? I mean, they're a Super Bowl. They're a contender, and they're on the short list of Super Bowl contenders as long as Murray's healthy. He's not practicing again this week. If I were them, I would hold him out until he's 100%. It's much more important that he is in their lineup for the playoffs than it is that he's in their lineup for Week 10. Week 10 against PJ Walker and the Panthers.
Wow.
You know what I mean, John?
That's a nice that's a nice bye week right there. But the Cardinals, Connor just stepped in, and you know we talk about the coach, and of course Kyler's an MVP candidate. But what do we always say in the trenches? The Cardinals are solid, man. That offensive line, no matter who's playing, opening up holes, and they're running the football and giving their quarterback time. So,
and their defense is good.
Yeah, defense been solid.
Underrated.
Even without Watt, they're lying.
They have a good pass rush.
Yeah, and they don't give up a lot of yards rushing.
Defense, yeah. I agree. And you know, you lose your quarterback for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I'm not saying he's the greatest in the world.
But
Colt McCoy is capable of hanging out, you know, doing it for you for a few weeks, getting the job done.
Perfect. Four weeks minimum. He's one of the best backups in the league. As long as
I agree.
Three to four games. As long as it's 3 to 4 games, he's one of the best backups in the league.
Anything over Jordan that, Love, is that what you're saying?
Anything over than that, you know, you're pushing it. But yeah, Joy Love. One game, it's rough, man. Yeah.
So, I'm sure, regardless of who plays quarterback, we all like the Cardinals at home this week.
Ah, come on,
it's an easy one, right?
Yeah, as much as everybody racks on Donald, look at PJ Walker's career stats. I think for this season, he's 3 for 15 for 29 yards or something. I mean,
give the kid a break, senior. I think he'll have a decent game. I just think the Cardinals will win. XFL PJ.
Yeah,
I don't think he's any good. Come on.
All right, let's talk about the Sunday night football game, which is another surprise, but maybe it shouldn't have been. Tennessee, sans Derrick Henry, goes into Los Angeles and just thumps the Rams. I thought Tennessee was live in this game. I didn't think they'd go in there and just whack them like they did.
Yeah.
Real impressive performance. All of a sudden, that Tennessee defense, which was putrid, absolutely putrid, is a good defense. Do you think it's a mirage, John? Because if it's for real, even without Henry, and he could come back for the playoffs, but even without him, if their defense is serviceable, I mean they're formidable.
No, I think the mirage was more how they played earlier in the year with those horrible games, giving up a lot of points. This was another upset. We were fried. Obviously, we had a rough night before, so I figured I would conk out on this game when the Rams were well ahead. But it turned out to be the other way around. I was able to tap out, knowing that the Titans.
You didn't see Adrian Peterson's touchdown, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, I didn't. Nah. But also, Stafford reverted to some of his Detroit low games, where he, I believe, he's a career leader in pick sixes, which is not a good stat.
See, he's a real good player, man. But he's one of those guys I don't like. I got to see him do it in a big spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's. I think
that was a real irresponsible. You can't give a. You take, worst comes to worst, you take a safety and 2 points. You don't give
two
a team.
In a row.
You don't hand them 7 points like that. Well, the second one was
But it was right away. It was one right after the other,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. The second one wasn't as blatant.
The pick, they got a touchdown, then he threw a pick six.
But the first one, you don't just throw blindly in your end zone. You don't do it. Yeah, it was Wentz, but yeah.
Yeah, it was as bad as the lefty pass by Wentz the week before.
Yeah, he's got to clean that up. All that talk about him possibly being the MVP, and that was a step back for him. But the Titans
7-2.
Yeah, their defense isn't going to be as dominant as that, but they're definitely not going to be as bad as they were earlier in the year.
We got the Saints going into Tennessee, coming off that loss. All signs point to a Titans win. Given that, and given the way the season has gone, I'm going with the Saints in this one. It just seems like a lot of times when you have two, like, the Saints have been Jekyll and Hyde anyway, but you have a lot of, a couple of relatively evenly matched teams that sometimes the road teams seem to be getting it done. The Saints came into Foxborough and won, right? Or was that in New Orleans? Either way, I like the Saints to get right at this one, running the ball. I think you'll see a little more Taysom Hill, and the Saints defense is for real. And I think they're going to make Tennessee one dimensional. It's a close game, but I like the Saints. Anyone with me?
I'll take the Titans. So we're going to make John cast the deciding vote again. The Saints, I like their defense, but the offense with Trevor Siemian, I just and the Saints also generally, I'd say that against most teams, Sean Payton can outcoach the other guy, but I think I'll call the coaching match up in this one a wash, because I think some of the success that Tennessee's having, their defense turning it around, losing Derrick Henry and not even blinking that last week. You got to give Mike Vrabel some credit. I think he does a great job over there. So I'm going to say Tennessee in a close one.
I'm waiting for the Titans five in a row and the last four, Buffalo, Kansas City, Indianapolis, and Rams. Just four great wins. But I think that's going to be the dead cat bounce, kind of like that hit Dallas this week, and that hit like the Rams, that hit some of the better teams. And I'm going to go with the Saints. I'm not a defender of Simeon. He is as wretched as you guys say, but he did give him the lead. It was the defense that let down, gave that big play to Patterson. Yeah. I mean, so Simeon did manage the game and put him ahead, put him in a chance to win. So I think we'll see more Taysom Hill, and the Saints are tough on the road. They're a gritty team, and they usually don't lose two games in a row. So I'm gonna go with the Saints.
Yeah, the thing is, John, they don't have to. Like, I mean, I know what Peyton's saying, but I mean, they won a number of games last year with Hill at quarterback, and I think you're going to see more of him. I think it was coming off the injury.
25 points. You can't ask for more than that. Everybody's right. Simeon's an easy target. I'm not saying he's good, but everybody's like, oh, you know, the Saints, Simeon. He put up 25 points. That's good enough, man. You know.
All right, John. So, senior, you're on Titans Island.
You know, I think so far this week I'm Gilligan. The games that we didn't have a sweep on, I'm on the island. I'm on Kansas City Island and Tennessee Island. If they both win, I promise you guys I won't gloat next week. I would never do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we all know that's crap. All right, and then we had a Monday night matchup with a couple of our favorite teams. And I'd like to talk a little bit about this game because there's a lot to unpack here. Yeah. Chicago, the Bears going to Pittsburgh. In what profiled as a low scoring game. I had a feeling there might be some points in this one, and that proved out. But I mean, Chicago really kind of got hosed in this game, and I'm not usually one to blame the refs. And senior, I know, you know, you are an official, but I mean, it really, there was a lot of real questionable stuff with late hits on Fields that didn't get called a couple of times, hits to the head on Field that didn't get called. And then that Cassius Marsh taunting penalty was seemingly just ridiculous. Senior, as an official, what do you think was going on there?
Hey, those things happen. You know, you get some called, sometimes you don't, you know. Oh, believe me, you know, I rack on the Bears, but you know, watching this game, you know, I was thrilled with the way Justin played in the second half. You know, I like him, and I think he's coming along. The talent is there. If he's doing stuff with his legs, and he made a few throws downfield that were outstanding, bullets downfield in the clutch in the second half. But also, I was certainly, as much as I rack on him, I was pulling for the Bears because, you know, there's nobody I'll root against more than the freaking Steelers. So to see them get away with a win that they probably shouldn't have gotten kind of pisses you off. But you know what? It's hard to blame officials. You know, there's always plays you could have done something better and still won the game. You know, and calls are going to happen.
Did you see the little hip check, though?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, Dad. I don't know. It was a rough one for me. I thought the Bears did enough to win. I thought they got robbed a little bit. But I mean, you gotta cover that slant at the end, right? I mean, that was really what won the game for the.
There you go. You know, there's always something you can do to win. You know.
Agreed. John, what were your takeaways from this game? Well, as a Bears fan, you got to at least be encouraged that Fields is starting to show out a little bit and doesn't look pretty ugly there at first.
Yeah, the good news first. Yeah, to put up 27 versus Steelers, Timmy Slomka, you got a quarterback. The Bears finally got a quarterback. But with that, they had to give up their first round draft pick next year. So it's going to be tough to build around them because they still need a lot more help. Their defense falling off, the offensive line issues, but get into that. I just hate that call where, especially on a third down, can you make the rule where you give the team, you penalize them a little yardage, but not the first third and 20
or something, right?
I just hate that, and especially and also a lot of other plays where you know, a guy puts a finger, gets a finger on the helmet of the quarterback. Give him a yardage, but don't give him a first down, especially at that point of a game. That's a game changer, right there. One of those game changing players. But with that, you don't see like the Patriots. I know you guys hate it, but you don't see that happen to like the Steelers. You know, established coaches like Tomlin. Because they drill it in, although, you know, Tomlin's guys got some knuckleheads sometimes, but not in a fourth quarter like that. It seems like it only happens to certain teams. That's got to go to coaching. You can't, you know, you got to tell your guys, hey, when it's the fourth quarter, you make a great play. I know it's an emotional game. Celebrate with your teammates. Don't talk to the opponent and don't do anything to even give the friggin' ref a chance to throw the flag.
Right.
Because it happened to my stupid Giants the week before in that Kansas City game. A couple questionable taunting penalties. You know, it didn't, whatever, lose the game. It contributed to the losing game. So I don't like it. But you notice it really just happens to, you know, mediocre or losing teams. It doesn't happen to the cream of the crop. So, you know, the elite coaches make sure to clean that up.
Yeah,
encouraging performance for the Bears. I said the Steelers are 5-3, but it's a shallow 5-3 in my opinion. They don't put the fear of God in me as a contender or anything.
Well, I'm not as a contender, but at least Big Ben looked like he was washed. At least now they know to manage the game, rely more on Najee Harris. Don't put him back there 50 times where he could turn the ball over. He didn't have any turnovers this game. Keep his passes down to like 30, not in the 50s, and utilize, you know, manage the game, and that's how, and with their defense, they can win, and you know, and hang in there. And that division is up for grabs. That division looks like it's it's one of the best in the, if not the best in the league, where. Well, actually, the West too has all teams are over 500. Miraculously, it's hard to believe because Denver's kind of looked as an also ran.
Yeah, I mean,
but the North and the West, you know, the only divisions where all the teams are over 500.
Talking about that division, I mean, the Ravens. I don't know if it's smoke and mirrors. I mean, all these comebacks.
Justin Tucker.
Oh, it's another great comeback.
He's got to get some MVP votes. Justin Tucker, pretty much.
The Ravens' defense is not very good, but yeah. Lamar is as kicked. Yeah, I mean, Lamar's playing even better than he did his MVP season. No one's. Yeah. I mean, people are. I guess they're starting to talk about it, but he's been incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, throwing the ball. I mean, he's improved dramatically. Where, I mean, he's kind of the ultimate weapon at this point, and he's kind of dragging that team that maybe isn't the most talented roster in the world to a division title right now.
Well, you know, John, you saying that those two divisions are up for grabs. I'll take it one step further. The AFC. Yeah. You know, at this point in the season, I know Tennessee's got the best record, but I mean, there really isn't a standout team.
Right.
Somebody's going to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC. You know, there's a few teams in the NFC that look like Super Bowl teams. Like, I know the seventh seed in the NFC is right now is Atlanta, so the NFC is a little more top heavy, but the AFC is completely up for grabs.
Yeah.
Completely. You know, who's it going to be after 17 games and after the playoffs? Somebody's going to the Super Bowl from this conference.
Yeah, it who turns it on in December?
It could be a whole lot of different teams. You could take a big handful of teams and say it could just as well be that team as Tennessee, you know? Or if you want to say the Bills are the heavy favorite, they sure don't always play like it, you know? So the AFC is totally up for grabs.
Even the Bengals, huh?
Even the Bengals.
The Bungles. Well, we can start calling them the Bungles again.
There's a lot of mediocrity in the AFC. So the Bengals could still make the Super Bowl. You never know.
Yeah, I think we might have given their defense a little too much credit. But then again, you know, you talked about those calls. We didn't have a show last week, but, you know, this wasn't an undisciplined taunting thing or anything. That call at the
Jets, yeah.
They gave, they didn't yeah. give, the Bengals a chance to get the ball back and try and win that game.
The lower on the head,
to win that game might have been the worst call in the history of football. I mean, it was an awful call. There was nothing there. So
real bad.
And you know, maybe we wouldn't be trashing the Bengals quite as much if they would have gotten the ball.
The
back
lower on the head, yeah.
Driven down and won. They just wouldn't need to kick a field goal to win the game, right? So.
But that's why you can't put yourself in that position, especially you know versus a team that you should beat. Yeah, well, you should beat.
None of us knew how good Mike White was. He's starting this week against the Bills. They announced it today. So
yeah.
And they say that Zach is probably healthy enough to play, and he's starting Mike White. So it's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that every quarterback that they've put back there has been able to move the offense except Wilson is, a reason to kind of keep him on the pine.
Josh Johnson is. If you go by eye test, I don't know. You know, I think Mike White looks like a player. He's got the look, you know. He really does.
A lot of it has to do with the coordinator LaFleur's brother. His first year as coordinator, it probably took him a few games to get acclimated. He made a big, you know, he switched from on the field to in the booth. That probably had a lot to do with it. And he's got the mojo going. Sometimes with new coaches, it takes a while to get adjusted. And he's got something going on. And also the offensive line. Has been they were non-competitive the first few weeks for Paul Wilson, so they're finally getting together, giving the quarterback time to actually run some plays and run some offense. So
senior, am I hearing in your voice a little? Are you thinking an upset special with that they're going to take out the Bills in New York?
No, I'm not going that far, but I'm saying if he throws for like 300 yards against the Bills this week, keeps rolling, playing well. And stays healthy. Maybe Wilson doesn't see the field again the rest of this season. Wouldn't that be something?
Maybe if you didn't have an angry Bills team coming off that Jags loss.
Yeah, that's not a good
one. It'd be a little more feasible.
The Jets defense is awful, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, that's it's still early, but that's tough when you're, especially when the new coach is comes from, has a defensive background, and he made it on his great defense. So that's a bad look when it's when your defense is faltering.
I mean, they were real bad in that Indianapolis game.
Yeah,
the Jonathan Taylor just 78 yards, nobody even touched him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that could I know their record isn't great, but that Colts offensive line might be the best offensive line in football. Right up there with Cleveland's. They just blow people off the ball, especially the left side of their offensive line. Really, really good.
I thought you were going to say especially the Jets.
But their defense gives up a whole lot of points, and that makes it hard for Indy to be a good team. They play entertaining games. They're kind of fun to watch, but that offensive line is vicious. They really run block well.
I'm going to give you guys do a little something different here. Let's do an upset special if you guys have one. I'm going to give you mine. You ready?
Go.
I like the Lions to win in Pittsburgh.
Come on, get off the schneid.
Coming off the bye. Pittsburgh's pretenders. They're not a 5-3 team. The Lions win that game. What do you got, senior?
I don't have the schedule in front of me, so it's kind of hard. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Well,
good,
wait,
John.
Who's Minnesota playing?
At the Chargers.
Okay, there's my upset special.
Are the Vikings underdogs?
Yeah, it's in. Yeah.
I'm just kidding with you.
Yeah, I like the Vikings in that game. Chargers come down from last week, and the Vikings have been playing. You know that they can put some points up.
Oh yeah, I thought they were going to beat the Ravens. I picked them to beat the Ravens.
Okay. It's my upset.
John, what do you got?
All right, they played them tough in the playoffs last year. I'm going to go with the Washington football team.
Yes, that's an upset special, baby.
Nah, they came close. They played them tough in that playoff game. Maybe Heineke's been struggling, but maybe he gets his mojo back that he had from that playoff game.
The Tampa pass defense can get your mojo back. Yep. So,
yeah, if the Washington FT defense can rise to the occasion, they certainly have a chance.
Yeah, I've been Chase Young's been disappointing this year. He looked like he was gonna have him be like dominant, like Watt with the Steelers, but he.
In theory, they can get pressure with their front four, which has always been Brady's Achilles heel. But we'll see, John. I hope you're right, because that would make things interesting. Because I'm, you know, I think the Bucs still have to be kind of the favorite in the NFC, and I'm really hoping the Cardinals make the Super Bowl. Cardinals Pats Super Bowl senior. We're going if it happens.
I honestly look at the NFC now and those five big power teams, and I say that I would say the Cardinals and the Bucks are a half a click above the others at this point, above the Cowboys, Packers, and Rams.
Agreed.
But those five teams are probably right now, I would call all of them, you have to say it, better than anybody in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals should really be undefeated. If AJ Green just turned his head, they would be undefeated. I mean, really, right? And they beat the Rams.
You know what, though? Everybody's got some if losses like that, right? How many teams do we say that about? You got to win the game.
Yeah. Yep.
I hear you. But that one was real bad.
But they didn't play a good game that week either. I mean, they didn't play well in that game.
I mean, they played all right. The Packers are a good team.
Yeah, I mean, watching the game, I didn't think it was a good version of the Cardinals that week.
No, that says something, because they come down to almost beat one of the other power teams when they didn't even play good.
Yeah.
All right. So, guys, I think it's going to be a good week. We got our upset specials in. Was there anything else either of you wanted to touch on?
Oh, we're good.
All right. So we are here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. My other show, From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, took a 1-month hiatus because my co-host became a new father. So congratulations to Logan.
Yes,
and we'll be back next month. And then I believe that's all we got as far as additional content for the guys on the show. Am I right?
Our boy Jake Williams, he dropped the ruthlessly aggressive podcast, going over 11-11-02 and 11-14-02 Raw and SmackDown from that week. So check in with our boy Jake.
Beautiful. And then coming soon could be the senior UFC hour.
We could easily get through an hour on the UFC.
Senior and Daniel Cormier. Senior.
No, that's it.
We got to sign DC.
The first 15 minutes of every show is just Senior by himself destroying Conor McGregor.
I don't know. That's something to say. If you guys must have saw it. I talked to you about it, Raj. After the fight, Michael Chandler called out McGregor, and McGregor responded. I want to see that fight. I would love to see Iron Mike knock his freaking head right off his shoulders. That would be awesome.
Next year at MSG, they should have one of Conor. It's been a while since he's been in MSG.
There you go. Yeah, let him fight his last fight. Get caught out again on a stretcher at MSG, like he did in Vegas. That would be great.
Beautiful.
Not a big fan. Only thing that would make it worse if he came to the Octagon in a Steelers jersey, right, Senior? All right, guys. So it's going to be a great week of football. We will be back as a three-man booth next week. There's no one out of town or anything. So
We got to get Ryder back. We got to get Ryder back.
I talked to him right before the show tonight. He was he thought about it and then turned me down. But we'll get him back. We'll get him back. He's growing up. So to give it, Ryder's growing up fast, man. He's on he tried out and made a travel flag football team. So he's practicing once a week. He's got his games on the weekend. He's got school. He's growing a couple of inches. Pretty soon he's going to be looking down on me and having that real deep voice. But we'll get him back on. We'll get him back on before that happens. So, for Mr. D'Amato and for McGregor hater Cowboy Senior, the Cowboy, and enjoy the games this week, everyone.